West Tigers club champion Chris Lawrence. What a player he was. He spent 15 years with the Tigers, retiring in 2020. He's actually one of only three players to feature in 250 games for the club. And he's currently equal with Benji Marshall as the club's all-time top try scorer. He played six tests for Australia. That was back in 2010 and 11. And Chris is doing his part for the Mark Hughes Foundation for Beanies for Brain Cancer Round this week, being part of the Big Three Trek. And Chris joins us this morning. Great to talk to you, Chris.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
It's a very important round, isn't it? Round 16, Beanies for Brain Cancer Round. And you're part of the Big Three Trek. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so last year was the first trek, and just got contacted from Luke Alexander just on social media. Him and his mate decided that, you know, they'd do their part to try and raise some money for the Mark Hughes Foundation, all Newcastle boys, and saw just how much of an impact the Beanie for Brain Cancer Round had done, not only through the NRL community, but, you know, raising money for brain cancer research. So they decided to do their bit, and quite quickly a lot of people jumped on board, including myself, to, again, raise awareness from doing a three-day 150K trek from Sydney to Newcastle, which was very testing. And since then, they've gone on to do another one both in January and then back on again this year. So tomorrow's the launch from Moore Park to the Opera House, and we've got plenty of people down there to really launch and raise awareness for the trek, but also for Beanie for Brain Cancer Round and the Mark Hughes Foundation. You know, we can see just each and every year how much of an impact the Beanie for Brain Cancer Round the NRL does have, and how much money is raised for the Mark Hughes Foundation. So, you know, this walk and this trek is a really good way to kickstart that.
Did you, it is a fantastic foundation that you're raising money for, and you're nearly at a team target of 150,000, 133 at the moment. The other question is, you'll have to do some training for this to do 150Ks. When you've thought about retiring, when you finished your footy, did you ever think you'd be like strapping on the training shoes again and putting so much work in?
Well, last year, that's why I thought, you know, this is going to be a really good challenge and an opportunity to, you know, make some and have an impact and do something good, because something like this is probably something that during your playing career you don't get the opportunity to do in this capacity. So, you know, I was quite eager to put my hand up last year. Unfortunately, probably to my detriment last year, I didn't do the training, which I thought, you know, it's only walking, how hard can it be? And yeah, I certainly ate those words quite quickly. I found out the 150K of walking was very, very tough. So definitely done a bit more training this time. Unfortunately, I can't do all of the days in this track this time, but, you know, there's an even bigger group this time and raising money. And yeah, it's so good to see they've even surpassed their initial target, the Big Three Trek guys, for $100,000, and have reset their target to 150. So the aim is to try and have a $150,000 raise so that they can obviously walk in on Friday night for the launch of Beanie for Brain Cancer Round up at Newcastle and have reached their target. So for everyone out there, if they want to donate, going on to the Mark Hughes Foundation or the Big Three Trek, or in general, just going down to your local IGA store and grabbing a beanie, because, you know, we've seen over the last sort of few years how much of an impact, not only in terms of the amount of money that has been raised, but the awareness for brain cancer and brain cancer research. So, yeah, it's been, you know, a really good initiative. And, again, it's going to really kick off a great week for the NRL as well.
Chris, you played for so long in a team and in a structure that gave you, I suppose structure is the word I'm looking for. How have you gone now since retiring? What do you miss the most, and how difficult has it been to, I suppose, adapt to what is the normal world now?
Yeah, I suppose that's probably the big thing. But you know, the structure, you know, when you're an athlete, you have so much structure, you know, your whole day, your whole week is regimented. You're told to come at this time, training from this time, then recovery, then here's your lunch, and it's very regimented, and that routine, that structure does get you into good habits. So for me, I suppose it probably took me 3 to 6 months to really find that sort of structure and that routine that did work for me. And a lot of it for me, I found, is around maintaining your health, you know, eating well, making sure you're always getting moving and exercising, because it's obviously what we did for, you know, as athletes for so long. So For me, it was obviously doing that and giving that structure. And obviously, you know, for myself, I was, you know, quite fortunate that I, you know, was really proactive in terms of career planning whilst I was playing rugby league, starting an education company that first worked with athletes through One Wellbeing and now with One Training as a vocational education provider, doing a lot of work in employability skills programs for disadvantaged job seekers and also upskilling those looking to further their career. So I think for me, the two things that really helped me was obviously planning for post-footy, but you know, understanding what was that routine, because it was a massive part of sport. And as you know, you mentioned, it was something that probably did take me sort of 3 to 6 months to find out what worked for me.
Chris, you're obviously never too far away from the West Tigers club, a club where you're a champion at, as I mentioned before, 250 games for the club. How are you seeing things playing out this year? Obviously, there's been a ton in the press about the coaching and, you know, where to next and what Michael Maguire did with the club. Tim Sheens is in there. How are you seeing things unfolding? Because I know there's a lot of frustrated West Tigers fans out there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And look, to be honest, there's, you know, the frustration, you know, is within the playing group and even myself, you know, even for the years, you know, that particularly I was there, that we didn't get the success that we'd wanted. You know, I know the hard work was going on then and, you know, the players are working extremely hard right now. So obviously there's, you know, plenty of things and it's not, you know, a simple answer of, you know, fixing one thing and that's going to fix everything. Otherwise, it would have been done already. There was obviously multiple things that need to be addressed and changed. You know, for me, one of the biggest things I'm excited about in terms of moving forward in the next sort of few years, obviously, is, you know, Tim Sheens coming back. But for me, I know just how much of an impact he had on my career, how he taught me all the fundamental skills that have set me up to have a 15-year career. He's such a great, I suppose, coach and mentor for younger players. And I think that's what we've been lacking, to be honest, as a club. You know, we are a development club. We've shown that, you know, we can develop and then bring juniors through our junior system. And, you know, over the last sort of, you know, 5 to 6, even longer years, we just haven't done that to the best of our ability. We've still got, obviously, a lot of those juniors coming through, but just the ability to retain those players and keep having them wanting to obviously play for the club. So, you know, having a guy like Tim Sheens who can really identify and mentor these guys, put in the correct systems in, from a pathway level, and obviously getting, you know, players, you know, you've got guys, obviously, you know, like Brett Kamoli now, yeah, the interim coach, but he was working obviously within the pathway system. Benji Marshall doing some coaching with the pathways as well. So you've got some of the, you know, smartest footy minds out there. So for me, if I'm a young player coming through the system, there's nowhere else I'd want to be and learn the craft under guys like that.
We were talking about it earlier. Obviously, Cameron Seraldo passed over the opportunity to coach the team. That was the news this week. But there's also emerging news that Brett Kamoli is favoured to take over West Tigers. He's been well received by those in-house. Do you think Noddy would be a good person for the role?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And look, to be honest, I haven't had a lot to do with Noddy. But, I mean, he's obviously, his record as a player speaks for itself. You know, he's a wealth of knowledge and already what he's been able to do, you know, with the pathway system at the Tigers has been tremendous. And, you know, I know everyone obviously values his input and really respects what he has to do as a coach. So, you know, I definitely think it's a great opportunity for himself over these next, 10 or so weeks for the remainder of the season to really put his stamp and, on the team at the moment and implement some of the things that he'd like to. But as I said, I think it's going to be a collective approach. It's not going to be a one-man fix in terms of whoever they decide to be that head coach. It's obviously going to be a collaborative effort from everyone within the organisation to obviously keep moving forward to get ourselves out of the gym ring.
Now, one of the great things, Chris, about when you retire, you can start a sentence by saying, back in my day, and you can give your opinion on anything that's sort of, you know, rugby league related. I want to ask you a question about Origin and that game the other day. And in the centres, which you spent a bit of time in as well, the debut of Matt Burton, the return of Latrell Mitchell this weekend, where do you go? Who fits in that centre role? The floor is yours.
Oh, that is a really tough one. I mean, if there's only probably a handful of players in the NRL that, if fully fit, automatically get a start in an Origin team. And I think you know, Latrell Mitchell is definitely up there as one of them. But, you know, looking at the game that Matt Burton had, I don't think there's much more you can do on debut. In a position where, yes, he played in the centres last year, but, you know, has been at 5'8 all year. So it'd been a while since he had been in that position. And, you know, defensively, it does take a while to get used to. But, you know, he does bring a lot to the team. So, to be honest, if it was me, if I was the coach, I'd find a way to have them both in the team. I mean, out of origin, you pick your best players and you find positions for them. So I think Matt Burton definitely is in the best 17, and I do think Latrell is as well. So for me, I'd be having both in there and finding a way to fit them in.
Well, just on that, Chris, and we were discussing it earlier, having to swap sides as a centre and the challenges that come with that in rugby league, particularly, you know, if you... you know, only playing left side at club level, if you were forced to play on the right side in State of Origin, what would be the challenges that would come with that?
Look, I don't think in attack, not so much. It's more defensively, and might not seem like much, but it's just some of the movements that you do make defensively. I think when you are playing a particular position, say on the left side, and you're doing it day in, day out, you're getting used to the movements of how to move in defence, getting used to the players inside and outside you. And it's not saying that you can't do that in the right, but sometimes it might take you those couple of repetitions to get it right, or it might be that split second that you get your feet in the wrong position. And, you know, if you get that wrong in that one instance, you know, in a game like an Origin game, you know, you can't afford to be that split second out. So, you know, if that were the case, you know, and I'm knowing that a lot of clubs now during training, you know, players do switch positions for that very reason if they are needed in different on a different side or different positions, because it isn't just about the movements in defence, because, you know, at this level, there's just no margin for error.
Now, just quickly, mate, before we let you go, you're back to the walk. A little bit of sibling rivalry there. Your sister, Emma, who I used to work with at 10, now has gone to 9. She's walking as well. I see her in the gym the whole time getting prepped up, ready to go. Who's going to win?
Oh, that's just for show, her in the gym. you know when she's been to the gym because she posted on Instagram.
But, that's great.
No, I think, look, she was, you know, myself last year, she gave me a bit of stick because I said, look how hard I can be walking. And to be honest, my body was pretty rattled for a couple of months after. And I don't have the most efficient or effective feet as well, but got some pretty terrible feet now. I'm pretty... pretty rubbish, but then you know, Emma jumped on the January walk, and likewise, she didn't think she thought I was carrying on a bit, but she soon learned how tough sort of 3 days of walking would be. So it'll be interesting to see whose body gives out on the first.
Yeah, so Emma's joining you. Billy Peden will be there as well. Aquila Uarte, Mark Hughes. Anyone else I miss? It's a good lineup of former players and celebrities joining you as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of guys, and not only, you know, celebrities, not only, you know, former athletes, but, you know, a lot of people, family and friends, obviously Luke and the guys, but as well as a lot of people who have been, you know, affected in some sort of way by brain cancer. And I think, you know, having those people involved with the walk just really solidifies how much of a difference this makes, and raising awareness and money for this, because you see firsthand how much of an impact it does have on families.
So once again, anyone that would like to buy a beanie, you can head to the Mark Hughes Foundation website. You can also go to your local IGA, and you can also donate to the Big Three Trek website as well. So find them on social media. Chris, always, always a pleasure to talk to you. Great to get your insights into all things rugby league. And once again, a big thank you to your support of the Mark Hughes Foundation and Beanies for Brain Cancer round of the Big Three Trek.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys.